Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
You would be indeed in a rather kind of cloudy day here in Los Angeles.
That's right. A little bit unusual for us here, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. A little bit of June gloom rolling
in. So I hope it clears up for the holiday next weekend.
Yeah, although I'm enjoying not getting that full summer heat just yet, man. I tell you, it's getting hot here quick.
Oh, well, so. Excuse me, Mr. Malibu.
Yeah, I need my cover,
the residents in Malibu.
I want to keep that winter feel in California as long as I can. I miss my snow as it is. How you doing, Michael? Great to see you.
I am good. Thank you very much. And we are here on a Thursday.
That's right.
In the real world, we're actually pre-recording this particular broadcast.
Magic of radio.
Yes.
Look at our technology.
Yes. It's earth-shattering, isn't it?
That's right.
But, great week, and looking forward to the holiday. Do you have any special plans?
You know, I tell you, holidays like this, it's kind of staying with the family, that kind of thing. We'll probably do a cookout. We'll probably grill out a little bit, but I try not to go anywhere on Memorial Day. The traffic gets so crazy.
Yeah,
I like
sure. Well, it's all probably
in.
Coming out there.
You know, I tell you, getting out of where I live is pretty tough. So, yeah, we like to kind of lock up and enjoy, maybe do a family movie, maybe do some grilling out on the patio kind of thing.
Nice.
So, yeah.
I think I'm going to do the same and catch up on some movie watching that I don't very often have an opportunity to do. And I started it actually the other night.
Wow.
A screening of a motion picture that has already played the theaters. But what an amazing, for me, being an animal lover, an amazing movie called A Dog's Purpose.
Nice. And I assume the puppies had some say in
they
choosing
did,
that as well.
They were sitting right on each side of me watching this film.
That's
and
great.
Good Lord. I mean, it you have to see it if you haven't. And if you do have pets, it makes a big difference in your life.
That sounds great. Well, I'll put that on the list. And Michael, as usual, State of the Arts is bursting at the seams with talent this week, aren't we?
No doubt about that, Andrew. And joining us today, we have two beautiful women. One is in Los Angeles and one is in New York. Miss Susan Grace in L.A. and Donna McKechnie. In New York.
That's right. Welcome both. Glad to have you here with us today.
Thank you. Hi, Michael. Hi, Andrew. It's Donna here, New York.
Hey, great to see you. Donna, we're so thrilled to have you via phone. Are you able to hang on with us for a couple minutes here?
Sure, of course.
Well, we will be right back. We're going to pay some bills here in just a moment. We'll come back and talk to our two amazing guests, Michael. But before we jump back in with them, we should definitely take the time to thank the people who make this show possible.
Absolutely. We'd like to thank our sponsor, ladies and gentlemen, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Art. Do you think they were applauding my read there or our sponsor?
I can never
quite tell. I'm going to take it like it's
okay,
me.
Okay, well, let's say us. Yes, okay. There you go.
Obviously, we are very grateful to our amazing sponsors and what great resources for industry people. And we've got another great resource we're going to tell some people about a little later in the show, huh, Michael?
Absolutely.
With no intention of becoming a performer, our first guest began her career in marketing. She joined the community theater group to balance her work and life and many other things. And we're going to talk more about her in just a moment. But Michael, will you tell a little bit about our other guest as well?
I will indeed. And we are, our first guest today, ladies and gentlemen, is the Tony Award-winning star of the original production of A Chorus Line. She is regarded internationally as one of Broadway's foremost dancing and singing ladies. Her Broadway credits include How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, Sondheim, a musical tribute, which she also choreographed, On the Town, Promises, Promises, Company, and State Fair, where she received the 1996 Fred Astaire Award for Best Female Dancer.
She has starred in numerous productions in London's West End, including Company, No Way to Treat a Lady, Can-Can, and Follies. She was invited by Bob Fosse to play the lead in his last production, the 1987 national tour of Sweet Charity, for which she received a Helen Hayes Award nomination.
Regional credits include Irma La Douce, Cabaret, Three Penny Opera, The Goodbye Girl, Mac and Mabel, Annie Get Your Gun, Gypsy, I Do, and her own one-woman musical, Inside the Music. Most recently, she created the musical staging for Six Dance Lessons in 6 Weeks, starring the beautiful Leslie Caron at the Laguna Playhouse.
Mm-hmm. Her memoir, Time Steps, My Musical Comedy Life, was published by Simon & Schuster and is now available. She has also performed extensively on the concert stage with symphony orchestras all over the country. She has appeared as a guest star in numerous television specials and dramatic series, including HBO Showstoppers, Fame, Cheers, Family Ties, Hullabaloo, Twirl, and Dark Shadows.
And one of the highlights of her recent professional life was to choreograph the highly acclaimed Guys and Dolls at the Hollywood Bowl, directed by Richard J. Alexander. She was featured in the documentary film Every Little Step and played the Rose in the film of The Little Prince. She joins us today, and we are so honored to have her here. And we have told you, I think, everything about her that we can tell
you. But there's still more, Michael.
But there's still one and only Donna McKechnie.
Well, Donna, now this time...
Wow, I'm impressed.
There's no doubt they're clapping for you this time. I don't think they're clapping for me
everything.
At all.
Oh, my goodness.
I got to tell you, my kids have watched The Little Prince, and I know you're known for such great work in so many venues, but that reached out to them, and they love that original show so much. They really responded to that, and of course, they've done different incarnations of it since, but that holds a special place in my kids' memories, so thank you for your work in that.
Oh, that's great. Oh, of course. What a classic story, yeah.
So, Donna, we are so excited in Los Angeles to have you returning here to perform this coming weekend. And
yes, I know. I know everybody wants to stay home a little bit, but if they get bored, they can come out and see us at Catalina's, because I'm really excited to be there.
You know,
really,
if you're
going to
venture out on that weekend, what a great place to go. You know, that club has such a wonderful feel to it. Parking's remarkably convenient there, and a great show, obviously, coming up. Can you tell us how that came about?
Well, yes, this was inspired by actually a New York supper club, a new one that opened a few years ago. And when I went there, I had this musical deja vu, because it was on the same place as Studio 54 used to be. And I remember those days, of course, and it was just such a special era. And I thought, this is really interesting. All these songs came to mind. Like some, you know, of the day of Jim Croce and Peter Allen, and of course, excuse me, the time then in New York was very special, and I thought there's a story to tell here also in a personal way. Excuse me, we're live. I know this is real life.
That's okay.
and so. I did it also in London, and then we made a recording of it, and I'm just really excited to bring it to Los Angeles for the first time.
Well, we are excited
and
to see
it. And it's called, as a deja vu thing, it's called Same Place, Another Time.
What a great title.
It sounds like my high school problems of always walking into the wrong class. Wait a minute, hold on, I got to go back to home. I'm going to figure out where I am in this planet. Well, now, obviously, you've had an amazing career, and there's no doubt about it that I think your vocals are known by so many people in the industry who love that. But you also have some really interesting stories to tell about your life as well. Are any of those incorporated into this show?
Well, yes, being a kind of a theater animal, I love to make contact with people, you know, break the fourth wall and tell stories. But in a theatrical sense, I love the music and the songs written by some great composers to help me lift it into a whole other hemisphere, you know, theatrically. And that's what inspires me. And I have a lot of fun sharing with the audience kind of backstories of A Chorus Line and Marvin Hamlisch,
sure,
who wrote this incredible song for A Chorus Line that was based on, in part, you know, some of my childhood memories, but I never sang it in the show because it wasn't in the character that I portrayed. Hmm. So it's fun for me to sing that song for them with my background, you know?
I'm sure.
That's so awesome. And do you, I know you've done many acts in your career, and I've certainly seen a few of them. And one of them, of course, featured the song that, and big number in the Chorus Line that you did do. And is that something that people are expecting to see of you every time you appear somewhere?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, usually, there's a request for it, but what I've done with this show, I've made it so I've tried to make it so complete, you know, with a beginning, a middle, and an end, that it's very satisfying. Of course, what they do want to hear are music, music from, you know, Marvin Hamlisch's score.
Right, sure.
And that at least I'm able to, you know, because we have, I guess, 70 minutes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm able to take them on a little different journey backstage. And that's very important for me, to make it to personal for the audience. And people relate to so many things, even if they weren't around in the 70s, you know, there's so many things in my show that are just personal experiences. And some of the Irving Berlin songs are marvelous. Mm-hmm. And there's a song that Leroy Anderson wrote that Elaine Stritch told me that I had to sing someday. So all of a sudden I found a place for it, you know. A little more obscure, but really a charming way to tell a story.
Well, if Elaine Stritch told you to sing it, then by goodness, you have to.
I wrote that down, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, just so our audience knows, the show we're talking about again is Same Place, Another Time. And, of course, obviously this is a nice up-close and personal venue as well, the Catalina Bar and Grill in Hollywood. And it's coming up this Sunday, May 28th at 7:30 p.m. But if you want to get out and see a show, go out on Sunday evening, get dinner there at the Catalina Bar and Grill, and sit and watch a really amazing show, because the next day's Memorial Day. You can rest up. You can take the time to talk about what you saw the night before. That's really a great time to see that show there.
And after Donna's appearance here in Los Angeles, she will be appearing in San Diego. And that is...
At Martini's, yes.
Yes, at Martini's, nice. Above 4th. And that is, as Donna just said, in San Diego, my hometown.
Well, then it's obviously a special time for... Now, do you get free admission because you're a San Diegoan? Do you get to go back and just
I
get into
I only wish.
I love San Diego. What a fun place to live. There's so much going on down there and that sort of thing. But they do make a point of bringing in great stars like this to where you feel like you're living in the biggest city in the world, in San Diego, which has a small town feel still
and
in a lot of ways.
Speaking of great stars, and Donna... is who I'm referring to. Donna, do you remember when you appeared on this program very early on in our very first year? You may not remember this, but...
I do remember. I don't know what year it was, because they go by so quickly.
It was actually 2010.
But I do remember. Wow. I remember. Yeah, but you might have to remind me what year it was.
It was 2010. You were coming out here to work with Kay Ballard and some other fabulous lady. And in Palm Springs, you were still in New York. You called into the show, of course, but you were coming out to
California.
Oh,
yes, yes, yeah.
So it happened to be on my birthday that we did that program. Yeah.
Very nice.
Oh, yes.
Very nice.
Yes, it was sweet, very sweet.
And Donna's been a friend of the show ever since.
She has.
That's
indeed.
Great.
So as Andrew just said, ladies and gentlemen, Donna McKechnie, Same Place, Another Time at Catalina Bar and Grill this Sunday, May 28th at 7:30 p.m. And to get your tickets, you simply go to the Catalina Bar and Grill website. It is plain and simple on the interweb.
That's right. And, of course, that's located at 6725 Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood. Really a great place. And then, of course, if you miss her there, and we'd encourage you not to miss her at the Catalina Bar and Grill, because it really is a fun venue, you can catch her again down at Martini's in San Diego. Martini's above 4th is located at 3940 4th Avenue, 2nd floor in San Diego, 92103.
And tickets for both of her shows in Los Angeles and San Diego may also be purchased by going online at chrisisaacsonpresents.com or by calling 866-468-3399. Donna McKechnie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you both so much for getting the word out. I'm very excited. I'm already packed. I can't wait.
Okay.
Well, we love the work you do, and it's always a thrill. So thanks again for coming on the show, and break legs this weekend. Have
All
safe
right,
travels.
We'll see you this
thanks
weekend.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
All right.
See
you.
You know, star is the word to use. She
Absolutely.
Really, she has done so much work, and she's got such a presence about her. I think if you go to see this show, you're going to find out not only about the talent, but about the great personality that she has as well. So,
totally.
Yeah.
Class act, as they say, right?
That is right. No doubt about it. Now, we should go ahead and bring in our next guest here, and we'll do a live arts calendar toward the end of the show today. We got kind of a special thing going on for our live arts calendar. We're going to introduce some people to another resource, and I think that's one of the great... We teased this a little bit earlier here, but boy, State of the Arts does not let down when we talk about supporting our industry professionals out there. We like to give them every resource possible. With no intention of ever becoming a performer, our first guest began her career in marketing. She joined a community theater group to balance her work and her work life and to have a chance to sing. And after many years of scene study and voice lessons, finally began acting career at the early in her early 40s. She had some immediate success in musical theater, but realized that she was better suited to TV and film and headed to LA for 1 year. That was 18 years ago.
When she moved to Los Angeles in the late 90s, the absence of today's internet presence left her so out of the loop about New York theater that she began to search every day for what little theater news was available and would report it to friends about who was just cast in that new musical or who's directing that play and so on.
It was a quick email, appropriately entitled Grace Notes, that she began to send every few days. After 3 months, she began sending a brief email to those three friends every morning. Gradually, others began to ask to be included in the email, and the email list grew quickly around the theater world.
In just months, it became the newsletter to read, and it continued that way for 11 years when she moved to a website. And the rest, quite frankly, is history. With over 200 press contacts worldwide requesting inclusion in her daily newsletter, Grace Notes has broadened its scope to offer everything you could possibly want to know about the global theater world in a very quick read, complete with links to everything.
It is the only global newsletter targeted specifically to successful, savvy theater professionals, providing the most comprehensive, concise, and up-to-date theater information around the world. It's the one-stop resource for all theater news.
Indeed it is, and with deep love and understanding of the global theatrical market and a self-stated mission to get more people to the theater, our first and only guest in the studio is with us today to talk about this labor of love. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the most tireless woman in show business here in Los Angeles.
She does work hard.
Miss Susan Grace. Susan.
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you for getting up so early.
Thank you for having me, although you know I'm up at the crack.
I know. I don't know how she does it. You get that emails in your inbox at, what, 5:30 in the morning, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock out here?
6:30, but it's 6:30. 9:30 New York already.
That's right. The thing I love about this is that you didn't come out here looking to dig into the entertainment world from this perspective. You came out here and saw a need for something and started doing it, and people demanded it and wouldn't let it not grow. Is that correct?
That's a lovely way to put it.
If you say so, Andrew.
Well, I can tell you, that's what I've seen. You started out with three friends, and from what I've heard from so many people who've been here, this has become a resource that people depend on daily to check out. And it's interesting because it's not just news, it's entertainment and news, so you get a really palatable version of everything that's going on in the industry. It's a great resource.
Thank you.
Well, and to also have someone who is passionate about what they do and what they're writing about is not always the case. So in Susan's particular instance, it is the case. So we like that. We love that. And I think it presents the information in a different kind of way. As she said, with the attention span of this world today, in easy to read, quick one-liners about things coming up,
right,
the proper information, that's a blessing on the internet.
I think primarily it was designed as a time saver because nobody has the time to read all the websites. There's just so much theater news, which is actually really exciting. So what I do is I'm an aggregate for all of that. So I do the work so you don't have to.
You condense it for everybody. Absolutely. And it's something now, as far as writing that, do you also enjoy the process of writing anything else? It has nothing to do with this particularly, or maybe something relative?
I'm a pretty terrible writer. I've become a good editor, which is great for Grace Notes.
And probably more valuable these days, too. So
why I don't write reviews is I'm really not a good writer.
Interesting. So when someone subscribes to this, what are they going to first, what's the benefit they're first going to see when they get their first email?
First of all, it is a time saver. You get everything you need to know about the theater world in one email. You don't need to go anywhere else. What Grace Notes does is we present new shows in development, casting announcements, workshops, openings and closings, Broadway, Off-Broadway, London, and regional reviews, awards, Broadway, London, Off-Broadway, major regional TV and film awards, benefit concerts, readings, galas, cabarets, upcoming events, relevant film and television news, video and audio clips, cast album releases, exclusive interviews and articles, a weekly theater quiz, and a weekly theater quote.
And this is not to be taken lightly, by the way, because her work day is, what, 7 to 8 hours, just
yes.
like anybody else's,
yes.
mm-hmm.
but at different hours, perhaps, right?
The nice thing working on my own is that I get to choose when I want to work, and I
right.
can go out and have a meeting somewhere else or do something and come back and work on it again, mm-hmm. and it's all my own hours, so that's very helpful.
And how do people subscribe to this, Susan?
You just go to gracenotesstage.com and click on subscribe.
Fantastic.
And it's easy to do, obviously. That's a great thing. One of the things that I love about this and that I hadn't expected to need in Los Angeles, I came out here and thought, well, if I do my job, I'm going to get work all the time. The networking aspect is so important. If you don't know what's going on, if you don't have something to say when you're speaking to somebody at a casting session or in a party or something like that, you end up being cut out of that conversation because you don't seem like you're in the know. That's one of the things I love best that you provide. It's an idea of kind of a comprehensive view of what's going on in the world that we live in, which is really important in this industry right now, particularly.
Absolutely.
And I know actors like it because they hear that a certain regional theater is doing a certain play or musical,
yeah.
and they'll get in touch with their agents and casting directors to make sure they get seen for the show.
Yep.
So there's that aspect as well. It's great. It's great for actors.
Can you identify through any sort of means with the website who the actor? I mean, how what the percentage of actors or producers or casting people that are your subscribers? Or is it very general?
I think it's pretty general. It's pretty much, there are Broadway producers, there's certainly many actors. Some people, I don't know who they are, so I don't know what they do.
One of them's me, in case you were looking. I'm one of them.
Oh, you're the one. You're the one.
Well, I always remember Andrea McArdle,
uh-huh.
Who, of course, originated the role of Annie
Amazing.
In the Broadway
And a friend of the
Annie,
show as well, of
And
course.
A friend of the show. But she is the one who told me about Grace Knows. She said,
wow.
I get all of my entertainment news through Grace Knows.
You didn't know
that.
Susan before that? Well, there's another one. My goodness. Wow,
yeah.
That's great. Well, it's interesting, too, because I think that is the way the industry works. When something's working, people talk about it.
Right.
And if it's a good resource, people are going to tell somebody else. What is your subscribership right now? Do you know?
I actually have no idea.
Wow, it's huge, though, because...
It's pretty large.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to mention one more thing, that if you decide to visit the site... On the site, it'll tell you everything that I provide, and it also gives you a sample issue, so you can see exactly what you're getting before
That's
you subscribe.
That's fantastic. That's a great resource, too, to go there and look at it and see what you're going to be getting. Because I know there's certain things that I don't want in my email box. This, however, is not one of them. This is one of those that comes in, and I click on it immediately. It's a really important resource to have, just to get your quick hits on the day before you start going out there. One of the things you said that has been so valuable to me is seeing the fact that, hey, look, this show that I just finished a year ago is going up again, you know, maybe in Sacramento or something. And that's a part I'm ready for. That's a part I can go walk in and nail the audition for. That sort of knowledge, it doesn't exist anywhere else in the industry right now. It's a really important resource.
Thank you.
Andrew, you as a writer, obviously you do find this, and an actor.
I want a sound effect for whenever you call me a writer. I want one of those dun, dun, dun. Sound like I get a better board here.
Well, I mean, you're a man of many talents, and you do this show. You are a stunt coordinator and a fight stunt coordinator
mm-hmm.
in particular, right? That's
correct.
Your specialty. And a very fine actor, and you do Shakespeare, and you do musicals, and you...
I'm going to give myself a little applause if you keep talking.
You met your wife doing a musical.
I did.
Right?
Was that indeed.
Into the Woods?
It was Into the Woods.
Yeah. So this kind of information that we're talking about is very invaluable to you, and actors who listen to this program should really take heed and probably sign up for Grace Notes.
It's absolutely
right?
true. If for no other reason than it gives you a sort of a way to kind of GPS your life, to know what's going on around you. For instance, this morning, I had a job this morning before we came in to record the show. I got up, I piled my kids in the car, and I took off, and I had a flat tire. And I thought, my goodness. And so I pull over into this parking lot, and I get the kids out. I'm like, all right, hold the tire and listen up, because Daddy's only got one time to teach this, you know? And I'm like, okay, here's the lug nuts, and here's the wrench, and here's the jack, and this is how you do it. You have to finger tighten the lug nuts before you take the tire off, and I was kind of buzzing through all this stuff, and I wanted to get the information in their heads as quickly as possible, because I had to move on to my job and get down here. And I think that in the industry, we need a lot of that. We need a whole lot of, look, here's what's going on, take a quick look at it, make it part of your verbiage so you can speak intelligently about it at some point, and then kind of keep that in the back of your head. And that is so crucial. Obviously, you know, we have so many great resources here, and when you put them all together, you really do get a full picture of what's going on in the industry you work in. So young actors definitely will find this valuable.
Absolutely. And, of course, Susan, your passion for the theater, you've worked in the theater, certainly,
yes.
Right? And that's something, you know, I think that all of us who have had experience in the career of acting have probably all started there. What is that noise?
I believe there's a puppy in the studio
there
running
is.
Around. Now, we'd be careful. Michael would get distracted and never come back if there's a puppy around. So,
Let me in.
That's right. I want to snuggle. Obviously, we're animal lovers here, but I tell you, he may take over the mic the way he's barking out there. So.
Exactly. Maybe he has his own show.
What would that be? The bark park, you know?
Exactly.
That's great. He's roaming around out there. They've got obviously a lot going on here at the LA Talk Radio Studios, so lots of people coming in and out. I think we should go hand out cards for Grace Notes just to get people involved in this here, because the people coming in here, this is kind of the heart of the entertainment industry too, talking about it and being a part of it, and the State of the Arts has been so dedicated to that. Have you had any experience in your life where somebody's come up to you and not known who you were and said, oh, you're Susan Grace of Grace Notes? Oh my goodness, has
I
that
have,
happened?
I have. It's very funny. Yeah.
I love that. It's like celebrity, isn't it?
It's a little bit, yes.
Well, you know, something else too that I wanted to get Susan's slant on is she attends a great deal of theater, as we do, and has an opinion to share about it.
Absolutely.
Now, she says she doesn't write reviews, but what would you say as far as Los Angeles is concerned about the cultural landscape of theater here? On a scale of 1 to 10, where are we today? Where were we when you first came out to California?
Oh, geez. When I first came here, I have to admit, I'm a tried and true New Yorker and very much a New York snob about the theater, so I was a little reticent. And I was very impressed with the theater here. It wasn't as sophisticated as New York, but now, 18 years later,
right.
I think the quality of work here is extraordinary across the board, from small 99-seat theater mm-hmm. to major productions. There's so many opportunities. I'm truly blown away by the theater.
Yeah.
It's in LA now.
What is the current status? I'm a little uncertain because it's a lot to keep up with, but where are we with the 99-seat theater plan?
That's a can of worms.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well,
we
I mean, have, just the latest and...
We should have a guest on to talk about that because it is a particularly tenuous time for that, and I think that what you're talking about, Susan, is something that's so important in that LA theater kind of had to develop its own personality. It certainly wasn't New York theater, and when you came out here, you saw a part of that in that the LA theater network didn't talk like the New York Theater Network did, correct?
Correct. In general, I don't think people were as experienced in the theater back then. They certainly are now.
Right.
And there are many New Yorkers who wouldn't dream of doing theater in L.A. then, and now they're racing to do theater.
That's here. Right.
So that if that isn't a clue of how wonderful the theater has become in L.A.
And that's also in that community of 99-seat theaters, the one great thing I think this year that was evidently clear and made a big statement was the fact that the Celebration Theater, 99-seat, not even 99-seat, 49-seat
right.
theater.
55.
Okay. took almost... every award that it was nominated for
and well deserved.
Our Ovation Awards and just kind of swept that evening.
It really did. Yeah, they might as well have just given them all seats in the front row because they kept going up and down off that stage so much they were going to wear out the carpet at the
exactly.
Amundsen down there.
And so that's the true testament to, you know, the brains and brawn behind those smaller venues.
And it's the consistency of these theater groups. It's not hit or miss anymore.
Right.
The consistency is extraordinary.
Well, when you have people like Michael Shepard and Matthew,
mm-hmm.
Michael, Matthew's involved, it's icing on the cake, too.
That's right.
Exactly.
Well, obviously, we have a lot more to talk about. Susan, when we come back, would you give us a little sample of what people will find on Grace Notes. Is that all right?
Absolutely.
We'll talk a little bit more about that. Michael,
perfect.
I wanted to check in with you and see how your week was. Did you have a good week?
Yeah, I did have a good week. I'm telling Susan off air that I'm just going through, and you know this too, I'm going through a kind of an executive physical, if you will, for lack of a better explanation.
Is that where everybody wears suits during the physical?
Oh, no, we wear nothing. Nothing. No pants. No, it's just a tie.
My kind of physical.
Exactly.
And how's that going? Is that okay?
It's making progress.
Good.
In the ophthalmology stage right now. Just
very nice.
Meaning that my eyes are being checked very thoroughly to see if there's anything going on.
Yeah.
Don't have all the evidence yet, but am going to be wearing contact lenses for the first time. I hope it'll happen that way, and I won't have to wear glasses to see you.
Right. Anyway. Well, I'm actually better looking when people can't see me completely well, so it actually works out well for me. But that's good. Yeah, I think we all need to do that. And general health and maintenance is such an important thing to keep yourself up and running, especially in this industry.
And,
so.
And every other kind of doctor, you know, an ear, nose, throat doctor. I can never remember what they're called. Susan, what are they called?
Ear, nose, and throat.
Yes.
Oh. Hold on. Let me
see ENT? There we go.
Where I go now, it's called head and neck doctor.
Wow. Oh, really?
Isn't that weird?
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Wrist and thumb doctor. I don't know, we can just keep moving down to very specific parts of the body.
Anyhow, so going through all that, and it's a little time-consuming, but just trying to kind of change my lifestyle. I go out so much, and there's fast food involved, which I'm taking out of my diet it's never been a major part of my diet, but it's certainly on any level not something that we should be doing.
All right, but we just lost our Wendy's sponsorship, so thanks
a lot,
Michael.
Oh, that's too soon.
You know, you're right. It's funny because I kind of feel like if you do fast food once or twice a week, it doesn't take a toll on you. But if you get into doing it two or three or four days in a row, boy, I just feel lousy the next day when I wake up, you know.
Well, the one thing I'm looking forward to, and you're right about that, in this time period, is that after today, next week, Thursday, is the beginning of June, right? And that is also the beginning of our seventh year of broadcasting.
Amazing.
On this network.
Congratulations.
Yeah, amazing.
With this radio
amazing.
Show.
And thank you to all our listeners.
Absolutely.
And the great Paul Sterling, who we think of every time we do a show, who's doing great work out in Chicago right now.
And he's still connected with us, of course.
Of course.
Breakdown Services and the blog that he writes
all
for.
All those beautiful graphics you see.
That's Breakdown, right. And which is very inclusive of this show as a lead item on Thursdays.
That's right.
So that's what I've been doing this week.
Good.
Yeah.
Good, good.
Just trying to keep it up. And I've got some, I'll be at Donna's show on Saturday.
Of course.
And, you're going to be out with your
family.
She's
doing the show on Sunday, so Sunday. Let's be sure we go on Sunday, not on Saturday. Yes.
Thank you.
Ask me about my week.
Yeah. What is your week like?
Oh, I'm glad you asked, Michael. Thank you. I got pecked in the head by a bird.
What?
I'm not joking. I was walking out. I'm involved with a workshop for a show that's going to premiere at the Minnesota Fringe Festival coming up, which is a great festival that they have in Minnesota. And it's got it's a really nice sampling of Midwestern playwrights and what people do out there. And it's with the Twin Cities right there, it actually has some really great sponsorship and really great representation. I was leaving a workshop for that here in Los Angeles, and I stepped out of the door, and I felt this tremendous pain in the top of my head. I thought I'd walked under a low-hanging tree or something and got hit by a branch. And I looked up, and I didn't see anything. I kind of felt the top of my head and kept walking, and then I felt it again, and I looked up, and I saw the meanest looking bird I've ever seen in my life, a crow, flying off with a hunk of my hair in his beak. And he just ripped it out of my head, the top of my head, and took off. And what was weird was when he hit my head, I could feel the beak and the claws, the talons on my head. And I kind of looked up, and when I first looked up, I didn't see a tree or anything, but I saw people kind of looking at me weird. And the second time after it happened, I looked up and people were laughing, and I couldn't help but just laugh. I cracked up because I sat there and I thought, who gets pecked in the head by a bird twice? And some guy walks by me who's coming out of the same building that the workshop was in, and he goes, oh yeah, that's been happening a lot. And I'm thinking, is this an Alfred Hitchcock film? I don't know. Somebody's
really?
I thought my conditioner was really just finally working. You know, these birds were just really attracted to my new hair conditioner. But I was shocked. I guess that my ponytail looked attractive to whoever was building a nest that day and came down and got me. But I went back. I was there the next week or the end of the week, and no birds attacked me that time. But I was a little nervous walking in. I felt like Tippi Hedren, kind of looking around and making sure everything was okay.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was wild. So, but this is a good group of creative people that I'm working with, and it's always fun. You know, we do a lot of theater in this town, and it's nice to see the excitement of a new project being built, and you realize how important that is. So.
You know, something's coming up this summer at Cabrillo Music Theater, which I know is one of your favorite
theaters. Absolutely, we love the people over there.
Ours as well, and it's their production of Peter Pan.
Absolutely.
So, with all the flying and all of that lovely stuff.
Lots of good stuff going
on
there.
You need to take your kids to that.
You know, I always try to take my kids up there. More than anything, though, of course, not all their productions are appropriate for children. Evita, just recently, I went to go see, and it was another great production with our friend Mark Ginsburg, who was so fantastic. And it's interesting when you look at what theater in Los Angeles has become, probably in that 20 years that we've talked about with Susan a little bit, it has changed so much that you really can live in any part of the city and very quickly get to a really remarkable show nearby, which is a great thing.
Yeah, and what do we always say, as we say on this program, is to put down that remote, get away from your TVs, and get up, get out, breathe, walk, to yeah. the theater, drive to the theater, however you can get there. Just
that's
make
right.
a point of
the
getting
facts
to see
are
the live arts.
Live theater makes your life better, so that's a
Absolutely.
Good thing. Susan, I want to hear a little more about what people will find when they go to Grace's Nest. Do you have anything that you're talking about now that was maybe in the email this morning in the last couple of days?
Actually, the two big announcements that were released this morning is that Broadway's 2016-17 season was its highest grossing on record.
Wow, I was reading these in yeah. your
yeah, with a total of $1.4 billion
oh,
at the box.
Oh my goodness.
Office. I'm sure most of that was Hamilton.
That's a good point, and but it brought in a lot of new people, too. You're right.
It did. So it's very exciting for Broadway.
Well, the figures, I think, for Hamilton that you wrote about this morning were almost $4 million, right? For
right.
the week?
Yeah.
$4
million yeah.
for the
wow.
week. If you get, and most theaters depend on $1 million
yeah.
and being successful.
It'll be interesting to see what the grosses are here when the tour comes
that's
here.
Absolutely.
Won't it
you're
be?
Coming to the Pantages later this year. That's absolutely
won't it be
right.
In August.
In August.
In August,
yeah.
that's right.
Yeah, and they'll be here for 5 months.
Do
very
you know, speaking of this, not to interrupt what we're talking about, but I went into a lighting store this week to buy a little bulb that I can't find in any other source other than a proper lighting
mm-hmm.
and store. And a friend of mine works behind the counter there. And he said, you go to see Hamilton? I know you go see everything. I said, well, I hope so.
Right, yeah.
And he said, well, I am. And I said, wow, great. I said, you get good tickets? He said, well, yeah, I had to pay $700 a piece for
wow.
them. I said, I can't believe you would have done that.
The latest I've heard is 5,000 with scalpers.
Oh, my goodness.
That website, you know.
Well, listen to this. So he buys the pair because uh-huh. he wanted to make certain that he was going to go. And
wow.
then he thought he would try again because somebody else asked him. If he had any ends, he said, well, let me just try. He went on and chose an irregular day, which there is
sure.
one Monday performance.
I saw that. Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And he got two orchestra seats in the center section of the orchestra for $175 each.
Oh, my
no.
goodness.
On the website for the Pantages Theater.
And obviously
wow.
the website there is fantastic. It's so user-friendly. But zip yeah. in there and look around. Maybe you can still grab some of those seats
well,
at the Pantages
I think
now.
He was talking about when it first went public.
That's impressive.
Which was
wow.
not too long ago. But
this is
month.
Midweek just on that
yeah.
one random. That's a fantastic
yeah.
price.
I said,
wow.
so now you should sell those tickets and make a profit or do whatever you want. That's amazing.
I tell you, I wouldn't
and
want
I
to miss
Miss
that
Susan
show, though.
Grace herself is going, aren't
well,
you?
Of course I'm going.
You're
fantastic.
I wouldn't miss that for the world.
It's going
to
be a great show.
Listening to the album all the time in the car.
I love it, too. Give us some more of those figures, though, that you were...
Okay, the other big news this morning is that The Band's Visit, which was wildly successful at the Atlantic Theater Company off mm-hmm. Broadway last fall, is now opening on Broadway on November 9th at the Ethel Barrymore Theater.
I didn't know that. So, that's great.
Yeah,
wow.
There's been a lot of buzz that it would transfer, and it is, and it's very exciting.
Yeah.
Susan, have you, through your efforts, had heard any buzz about Bandstand on Broadway?
No, I haven't heard particular buzz. I know I've seen some of the clips, which I've also
right.
posted on my website, and it looks adorable.
Yeah. It's
no, I haven't heard a lot of
officially
buzz.
Opened. And what yeah. about Anastasia? Hasn't it opened?
Yes, it did open.
And
the reviews were okay.
Okay. Is it going to run for a while? Or
I think so, because of the storyline. I think it is. It seems to their grosses are pretty decent, so I think so.
Fantastic. I asked because one of our former top finalists from LA's Next Great Stage Star back in 2010, actually, is starring in that
yeah.
One
oh,
of
great.
The two male stars with Ramin Kerimlu and the young lady who plays Anastasia. But this is his fourth Broadway show now?
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Good for
yeah.
him.
Yeah. Derek Klena.
Fantastic.
Okay. I know
yeah.
his name.
Fantastic.
Of course I do.
Yeah.
I'm posting about it all the time.
Exactly.
He's a busy guy.
So continue, please.
So I thought I would just give you a couple of exciting things that are going on around in Los Angeles.
Love to hear
over
that.
This
Perfect.
Holiday weekend. So on Friday, the Tesla, a radio play for the stage, is opening at Laguna Playhouse, and it's a star-studded cast, so that's supposed to be really wonderful. Thursday, which is actually today, but it's
right. That's right, when the show
okay.
airs, that's exactly
airs.
Right.
LA Theater Works is doing one of their live radio recordings of Tug of War, which is also...
Should be great.
Yeah, a wonderful star-studded mm-hmm. cast, so that looks really wonderful. Also on Friday, if you can possibly still get a ticket, is the La La Land concert at the Hollywood Bowl. That's Friday and Saturday. So that should also
fantastic.
Be awesome.
Now, is that going to feature anybody from the film? Or we don't know. Probably
I don't
not.
Know. Actually, they haven't announced it. I still don't know the cast. Oh, so hopefully I'll know by the time I post Friday's issue.
I'm hoping I'm in it. I'm not confident.
I'm not going to say.
You got to hope real hard, pal.
The producers called and asked me if they could use you.
I knew. See, I knew you were my agent. I hadn't heard from you for so long. So.
And Saturday, you know, Fiasco Theater Company, which did incredible reimagining of Into the Woods, mm-hmm. is now doing the Imaginary Invalid at
the
Old Globe.
Funny. Oh, that's great.
And that's going to be truly hysterical.
That's great.
That begins Saturday at the Old Globe. And also Saturday, the Rogue Machine is opening Les Blancs at the Met Theater.
Hmm. Les Blancs.
Les Blancs.
Is it a French show?
It seems very français to me. I don't know. And on Sunday, Escape to Margaritaville opens at La Jolla, which we all know is pre-Broadway.
Fantastic.
And I hear very good things about that.
Is that the music of Jimmy Buffett?
Yes, it is.
It is.
It is.
Wow.
And
a
pretty impressive cast, too. I think the musicians there, a lot of them have played in really big venues, a lot of them with Jimmy Buffett and his kind of people as well. So
Yes, and the word on the street is quite wonderful.
Everybody has a restaurant kind of cocktail thing happening up at Universal Studios.
I didn't know that. Wow, very cool.
I didn't know that. You know I go up there often.
Yes, it's very new. It's just
we need to do
within
a
the past
field
couple
trip.
Months that it opened.
We'll go visit. The three of us will go visit on a state-of-the-arts field trip this week.
We will, and then we'll go to iFly afterwards.
That's right. Susan goes to iFly.
Well, now, Susan, we've let 40 minutes of this show go by, and I'm dying to ask you, where do you get your information from? I know you have your ear to the ground, and, of course, so many contacts in New York, but where does a lot of your tidbits come from?
Some are from friends and insiders. Most come from the 200-ish press people from around the world that want to be part of Grace Notes. I also scour all the websites, as well as a variety, Hollywood Reporter, anything else I can get my
hands. It must be hours of research to come up with all the stuff, because you go layers and layers deep on what's opening and how long it's likely to play and what the reviewers are saying before some of those reviews are even out.
It takes a while to sift through what I'm pretty good right now at reading my readers, subscribers, and I think I know what they like.
Right.
So it takes a while to find just what I think is going to be interesting to my subscribers.
Yeah.
They tend to be not as young, and it's really sort of an insider trade paper, and most of my readers are extremely successful in the theater world. So there's a shorthand
right.
with what I post. But it's still accessible to everybody, and I still have I have 18-year-olds and all sorts of things that are subscribers as well. And there's also an equity discount if you have
nice. Very nice.
Yeah, which I forgot to mention
earlier. Oh, that's fantastic. I actually didn't know that. 15%. That's great.
15%. Can't beat that.
Well, I've turned a number of my friends in the Midwest on. I travel a lot for different shoots and stuff like that, and I've turned a number of people onto it because there is a connectivity that you miss from being in Los Angeles or New York, and this can stopgap that quite a bit to where you can really get a lot of the information and jump back in when you're back in town and know what's fully going on.
It does. A fair amount of my subscribers are in the middle of the country mm-hmm. just for that reason.
Right.
This way they can be in the know about everything that's going on here in London and Paris, Australia.
Yeah. Sweet. And something that is going on here, which I should say that I covered the opening of at the Amundsen Theater, is Jersey Boys.
Fantastic.
The U.S. National Tour starring Mark Ballas. Were you there?
No, I wasn't able to go.
Okay.
But how was it?
Excuse me. Well, the show is the show, which is a wonderful show. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's one of my favorites. And this is only the second time I've seen it, strangely.
Yeah,
but,
that is strange.
Mark Ballas, let's talk about Mark. Mark, of course, is the heartthrob from, or one of the heartthrobs from Dancing with the Stars.
Of course.
And he does have a theater background. He's an amazing dancer, as we all know. And in this particular show, for the fellas, there's not really dancing as much as it is movement.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, anything that he does, movement-wise, is spectacular. As far as his vocals, they're reliable and serviceable, I think, to the score. But and as far as an actor, he's actually a very good actor. I was surprised.
That is an acting role,
yes,
too.
Yes, I was
can't
surprised,
just step up
actually.
There and not act it, yeah.
But I felt overall that a little bit of a letdown, quite frankly. Hmm. For me, I was expecting more, but I have only one person to really compare
in
that role,
tough,
who was the man that originated it, John Lloyd Young. So that's kind of not a fair thing for me to say. Because he did a very, very good job, and he certainly had a fan base in the house on opening night.
I'll bet he did.
He could do no wrong. I mean, whatever he did, you know, garnered screams from the audience.
That's smart casting.
That
very
is
much.
That's a good
and
point.
Which is why Broadway Broadway came
Colin
quickly, for him to be on the marquee there in New York in the last 6 months of the show during the run in New York before it closed, which was very recently, followed now by the tour. Then I was back at the Center Theatre Group for the 50th anniversary of the Center Theatre Group.
Yeah.
And this,
I wanted to go.
Amazing show that was headlined by so many people, but in particular Jennifer Hudson.
Of course.
And Annette Bening I interviewed. I was there on behalf of Broadway World TV. So I did interviews on the red carpet with Annette Bening and Andrew James Olmos.
Yeah.
And speaking of Dancing with the Stars, Bruno Tonioli and so many people were just traveling through that carpet. We had a lot of fun. And then it was followed by a beautiful dinner under the nighttime sky at Grand Park across the street.
Nice.
So,
yeah,
great.
It
was a
little long before we got to that part of the evening, but well worth it.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so if you go to BroadwayWorldTV.com before this week is out, you'll be able to see the coverage of that event anyway.
And when does Oklahoma open? Coming up here
soon,
correct?
Oklahoma opens in June.
That's great.
Yes, at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center.
This is 3D Theatricals production.
3D Theatricals reimagined production. Very excited to see it. And then we go to the Cerritos Center for the Performing Arts also in June.
Fantastic.
Yeah, coming up.
Susan, I cannot believe we haven't had you on the show after knowing you for this amount of time and loving your resource so much. Thank you for being here. Can we count on you to come back again sometime?
I would love to have you back on. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Can you give people one more time where they can go to subscribe?
My site is called Grace Notes. The actual address is gracenotesstage.com.
gracenotesstage.com. And, of course, we've been talking to about a number of shows here today. We've been talking about the Amundsen as well, and, of course, Donna McKechnie's amazing show. Same place, another time, at the Catalina Bar and Grill in Hollywood on Sunday, May 28th. And then, of course, at Martini's Above 4th in San Diego on Thursday, June 4th. Is that correct, Michael?
That's correct. And before we close this edition of State of the Arts, we always have our one segment that we've become kind of famous for. Right?
People know it everywhere.
They
don't
do.
They?
And what is it?
And now, embarrassing moments.
And the fear mounts in the State of the Arts studio here at LA
Talk Radio. Grace is in the hot seat.
Do you have anything that comes to mind, maybe an odd or an unusual moment that's happened during your time?
Yes. I grew up in the suburbs of New York, and my mother would take us to Broadway shows as often as we could. And we went to The Miracle Worker, starring Patty Duke, and I was sitting second row center. And there was something special about Patty, because we were the same height, and we're, I think, within a year of each other, the same age. And I thought we looked similar. I'm not sure if we actually did, but I thought we were actual soul sisters.
Wow.
I was convinced.
Wow.
So the play, of course, was just amazing. She was extraordinary. And during the dinner scene, when Annie Sullivan's trying to feed her and she spits out all the Brussels sprouts, I caught three or four of them.
Oh, my God. How far back were you in the audience?
Second row. I don't know if anyone else, that excited anyone else, but it did me. I thought it was amazing. And I had my little Sucrets box. You remember Sucrets?
Yeah. Of course.
From way back when. And I kept that for about 30 years.
Patty Duke's Brussels sprouts.
I would not give them away because I knew we'd meet someday, which unfortunately we never did. Oh. But I knew we would meet one day, and she would know that meant we were soul sisters.
Wow.
Because I caught the Brussels sprouts. I did, however, meet John Aniston once, and I told him the story. And he said, oh, Patty would love this. But I never got to meet her.
Do you know, I had a good friend who played her, good girlfriend, who played her double on her
Patty
Duke show.
Now, you say good friend. This is a woman who you almost spent the rest of your life with. Is that correct? She was a near date.
She was a near date. But what Andrew's referring to is I did the pilot for the dating game when the dating game had men choosing the dates.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
So, on that particular show, this young lady who was the double. Lovely, lovely girl that I knew just from working as an actor, and we were friendly. And then the other girl was somebody I didn't know who was from Orange County and was studying to be a nurse, and her name was Candy Apple.
How funny.
And I figured I probably didn't want to go out with her. And then the other girl when she spoke in answer to my question, I just melted because she was my dream girl, and it was Sally Field.
Oh, no.
And that's who I chose, yeah. And we started dating.
Did you? You never told me.
Now, the woman who was Patty Duke's double, she was doubling somebody who on the show was doubling herself, right? That was the show. Patty Duke played herself in both roles. That must have been a lot of work for a stand-in. I mean,
it was. And she was a lovely actress herself. Hmm. But I said that about Patty because I did have the pleasure of meeting her and interviewing her, again, back at the Center Theater Group.
Oh, nice.
For Buyer and Seller.
Wow.
She was there at that opening.
Oh,
and it was odd because we were kind of done, and Nick Jonas was amongst the celebrities that were there for that opening, and that was the one interview that I had to pay most attention to in getting him to actually give an interview, because he actually wasn't a formal red carpet, but he graciously did give me one. And as I was on my way to him, which was right before the show was, you know, actually going to start, somebody tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Hey, if you want to talk to Patty Duke, she's standing right over here. I'll introduce you to her." And that's how I met Patty.
Amazing.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Amazing.
Oh, what an opening
that's
night that was. Oh,
yeah.
That's fabulous.
Lots of fun. And Buyer Seller has been so popular for a lot of people all around the country.
Seeing
that show. There's no doubt about it. Well, Michael, we've talked about some amazing shows today.
And so much have we talked about.
Right. That's absolutely true. So we'd encourage our visitors to go look at Grace's notes here and check those out as quickly as you can. Can you tell them one more time where they can go to subscribe?
It's Grace Notes at gracenotesstage.com.
I love the story of how that started and what it means to the industry now. It goes to show that if you see a need and you fill it, people will be very grateful. So.
Awesome.
And obviously so many other great things. We'd encourage people to visit performingartslive.com and, of course, Breakdown Services to check out what else is going on, all these amazing resources for our listeners.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Michael, great to see you.
Thank you, and thank you for being available on this day when we're doing a pre-recorded broadcast.
We didn't fall asleep in the morning. That's pretty impressive, man.
I wanted to go back to bed.
We can work before noon. It opens up a whole new group of doors for us, doesn't it?
So we will see you next week, Andrew, and where will that be?
That will be on the radio.
You got it.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.